I often like us to have a question to reflect on as we move through different seasons in the church calendar. And the Lenten question that I'd like you to consider in the weeks left in Lent is, who am I? And as you've maybe taken on something new during the season of Lent, or maybe you've given something up in the season of Lent, or maybe you're doing something to remind you that you're in the season of Lent, I hope that the question behind the action or the choices is, who am I? As I'm stripped of distractions or addictions or neuroses that I might run to often, who am I? This weekend, as we move through the season of Lent, I've chosen to use the psalm. And the texts each week in the lectionary sometimes hang together nicely for the preacher. Other weeks, it's a little more challenging. And so this week was the week to go to Psalm 27. A classic memory verse for me was from verse 4. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to seek him in his temple. A great verse. And yet, when you take the psalm as a whole, you recognize that there's a little more dynamic in Psalm 27 than just nice verses like that. So this morning, as we move through Psalm 27, I'd like to suggest that there's three movements. The first is the declaration. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Phrases like, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Phrases like, my heart shall not fear, though war rise up against me. He will set me on a high rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Haven't you seen that on magnets, fridge magnets at your local Christian bookstore? Can you just imagine it? Or, for he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. Can't you just imagine picking up that Hallmark card in the inspirational section? That bird floating across that azure blue ocean. The storm clouds, of course, in the background. Lest you think I'm mocking this passage, I'm not. And I'm hoping that we can have moments of declaration. Days in our life where we can say that, yes, God is real. He's near. He walks with us. He even companions with us. And thus, there's no reason to fear. There's no reason to second guess ourselves or our Creator. All is well. And wouldn't it be great if life could just stay in the first part of Psalm 27? And yet we know that if we've been alive for 15 or 20 hours, that life is messy. And whether you're filling your diaper or filling your life with grief and sorrow and mess, we know that there's more than all is well. So the second movement is this, the desperation. Psalm 27, Act 2, that starts in verse 7, answer me. Or phrases in verse 9, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me. Verse 12, do not give me up to the will of my adversaries. We can't really date these psalms because scholars say that they can be from as far back as 1000 BC or as recent as 400 BC. And so we can't really know the circumstances that might have been swirling around for the psalmist in Psalm 27. It might have been David, the king of Israel, during his monarchy. But we know for sure that as we read these verses, that there is this sense of wrestle. There's this sense of struggling. And I'd hope that as you read these verses in the middle part of Psalm 27 today, that this is gift to you. That struggle and wrestling with God is a part of the journey for all of us. One quote that I read this past week was from William Cowper, an English poet and hymn writer in the late 1700s, who had this phrase, this quote, "He has no hope who never had fear." He has no hope who never had fear. Hear from a hymn writer who wrote alongside of the greats like John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace. And yet William Cowper was a hymn writer who wrote many hymns, but I guess didn't hit that hymn top 100 billboard like John Newton. But William Cowper was no struggle to strangeness and desperation. And so how about us? Where are we at today? Can we admit that struggle and desperation are part of our present faith journey? And do we have the means in our lives to carry these hardships? One preacher that I was listening to this week, Will Willimon, talked about, do we have the means in our church lives, in our worshiping lives from Sunday to Sunday, to, quote unquote, lift the luggage of life? And he talked about how, as he visits churches in his denomination, how he tries to sit in those services and reflect on the realities of what's happening with the people and then put it alongside of what's happening in the service. And sometimes he finds himself amid songs that have, what he says, jettisoned the tradition, the language, the metaphors, and the stuff in favor of something more easy to work with. And he says, "In my humble opinion, I just don't think it will lift the luggage in the future." He says, "As people are singing and praising some vague thing called God, who, as far as I could tell, had never done anything in particular, as we were bouncing along praising, I wanted to say, you know, there are people out there today who just found out that their cancer is not responding to treatment, or who found their kids won't do right, that their marriage won't survive, that they can't keep their jobs, and here we are just bouncing along, grinning, praising God. We've got some good stuff for that kind of thing. Where is it?" And so I ask, do we have the means in our songs, in our hymns, in our forms of worship to lift the luggage when life gets desperate? And so I hope today that as you reread these verses from Psalm 27, you might have something to help you lift the luggage of your life. This is not a psalmist who's just bouncing along, grinning, praising God. This is a psalmist who's desperate to hear from God. "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud." This is a psalmist who's desperate to be seen by God. "Do not hide your face from me." A psalmist desperate to be taken in by God. "Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me." A psalmist desperate to be nurtured. "If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up." A psalmist desperate to be spared from isolation and abandonment. "Do not give me to the will of my adversaries." All of our life can be gathered up in the Psalms, these declarations, this desperation. And thirdly, I'd simply say there's an invitation as we move through the third movement of this psalm. An invitation. In verse 13, the psalmist believes that there will be future goodness. He writes, "I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." But in the end, in verse 14, the psalmist waits. "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." And that's the invitation for us today in the season of Lent, to wait for the Lord, to be strong, to let our hearts take courage and wait for the Lord. And so as we close our time in this text, as we reflect on being a people of declaration, being a people who sometimes find our place in desperation, will we be those kind of people who simply wait and allow ourselves to hear God take care of us? Allow God to answer that question, who am I? Or whose am I? Or maybe even corporately during Lent, we can be this community of faith that says, who are we? Whose are we? Can we choose to stop and wait and to take a look at the landscapes of our lives? I'm going to close with a moment of silence and just allow you to reflect on your life. Maybe for you today in Lent, in the quietness of your heart, you might declare boldly how God has been good to you. But at the same time, maybe today you need to despair boldly. Bring it all to God and wait for the Lord to reach out and catch you. Declaration, desperation, and invitation. Let's wait on the Lord as we close with a moment of silence. And then I'll read a prayer written in the early 1900s from William Temple. So after a moment of silence, I'll close us with prayer. Almighty and eternal God, so draw our hearts to you, so guide our minds, so fill our imaginations, so control our wills that we may be wholly yours. And then use us, we pray, as you will, but always to your glory and the welfare of your people, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.